Welcome back to The Deep Dive. Today, we're taking a closer look at something really foundational, but, you know, incredibly powerful in our language, adjectives.
That's right.
We're going to recap the chapter you've shared, zeroing in on the, well, the core takeaways. We want to make sure you walk away with a really solid, confident understanding of how these descriptive words actually work.
Yeah.
The mission here is basically to deepen your grasp without getting bogged down in maybe unnecessary jargon, just making sure you feel equipped, really.
Absolutely. And it's often said, you know, the devil is in the details. Well, with adjectives, I'd say the magic is in the details.
Magic, I like that.
Yeah, these aren't just like decorative words. They're precision tools.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding them, it fundamentally shifts how we not only build our own sentences, but also how we pick up on the subtle messages, the vivid pictures embedded in the language all around us.
Mm-hmm.
It's really about moving from just getting the words to, well, truly appreciating their impact.
Precisely. So let's start right at the beginning. The essence. What actually is an adjective?
The core definition.
Right. Our chapter defines it pretty simply as a word that describes or modifies a noun or pronoun. Seems straightforward enough, doesn't it?
It does.
But the real insight, I think, comes when you see the dramatic difference these words actually make in practice.
Definitely.
Take the example from the source material. The tall man entered the noisy room with a blue bag. Okay. Here, tall, noisy, blue fall. They don't just add info. They bring the scene to life.
They really do. They specify, they differentiate, add character.
Exactly. Now, picture it without them. The man entered the room with a bag. The basic actions there,
yeah.
But the vividness.
Gone.
Yeah, the distinct picture. It's totally lost. It's a stark reminder of just how essential they are for painting that full picture.
Indeed. Adjectives are essentially the primary way we refine things, make our expressions specific. You can think of them maybe as filters, filters through which we see the world and then describe it.
That's a good way to put it.
Without them, our language would just be, well, remarkably generic, wouldn't it? Lacking all those specific details, sensory, emotional, the characteristics that let us truly share a unique experience, they lift mere facts into something more compelling.
Okay, so as we dig a bit deeper, it's clear that, you know, not all descriptive words work the same way.
Right.
Our chapter breaks adjectives down into six distinct types. Each one has its own specific job, adding clarity or nuance. So, like, understanding these gives you a whole descriptive toolkit.
Exactly, a toolkit. And let's unpack that a bit. Consider the first few categories. When we want to talk about the nature of something, it's inherent qualities. That's the adjective of quality.
Quality. Okay.
It answers the what kind question. So a kind girl that tells you something specific about her character, right?
Not just any girl.
Precisely. Or a tall building specifies its height. A rough road instantly tells you about the condition. These are really the foundation of characterization.
Got it.
Then next up, if the goal is to indicate the amount of something, but maybe not a super precise count, we use the adjective of quantity.
Quantity, like how much?
Exactly, how much, or sometimes how many, but in a more general way. Like some water, you know there's water, but not the exact volume.
Right, or little effort.
Little effort, enough money. They indicate sufficiency or amount without needing the exact number. Really crucial for talking about proportions without getting stuck on specifics.
Makes sense.
And then, when those exact figures are needed, we move to the adjective of number. This type gives us concrete numbers.
So this is the how many or in what order one.
Precisely. Five apples exact count. First prize specific order. Or even several students. It's not a digit, but it implies a countable group, different from just some. They provide those quantifiable specifics we often need.
Those distinctions are really helpful for being clear. Okay, so moving through our toolkit, we've got demonstrative adjectives next.
Yes, the pointers.
The pointers. I like that. They point out which specific noun or pronoun we mean, like this book, those stars, that house.
Mm-hmm.
They basically cut through any ambiguity, making sure everyone knows exactly which item you're talking about, a direct link.
Quiffy, it's that immediate connection, yeah.
Then we have interrogative adjectives. These are the question words used with a noun to ask something.
Right, the asking adjectives.
Yeah, the chapter points out when words like which, what, or whose come right before a noun in a question like which book or what movie or whose phone, that's when they're acting as interrogative adjectives.
Yeah.
Essential for getting specific info about a noun.
Absolutely.
And finally, rounding out the six types, we have possessive adjectives. These are all about ownership, right?
Showing belonging
by
your, their.
Your shoes, their house. They just clearly show who owns what. makes things concise, leaves no doubt. So yeah, six types, each doing something distinct but vital.
Exactly. And, you know, really getting these isn't just about learning labels. It's about intuitively picking the right tool, the right word for the exact meaning you want to convey.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing the subtle difference between, say, some and several, or when quality adjective works better than a demonstrative one, that allows for much more sophisticated communication.
It empowers you, really.
Yeah, it does. It empowers you to describe things with almost surgical precision, making sure your audience gets the full picture, the context, everything.
That precision definitely matters. Okay, so adjectives aren't static, are they?
Yeah.
They can change, especially when we compare things.
That's a key feature, yes. The degrees of comparison.
Right, our chapter talks about degrees of comparison,
mm-hmm.
showing how adjectives morph to express different levels of equality. It's not just grammar. It's how we navigate evaluating things.
It's fundamental to evaluation.
It starts with the positive degree. That's just the basic adjective, no changes. Re is tall. Simple fact. But if we want to compare two people, two things, we use the comparative degree. So Saya is taller than Rhea, shows a greater degree of tallness.
Comes versus the other.
And then if you have three or more, and you want to show which one is at the very top for that quality, that's the superlative degree. Mira is the tallest of all. Puts Mira right at the peak.
The highest degree.
Yeah, it puts subjects on a clear scale.
Mm-hmm.
And the source mentions that handy grammar byte too, reminding us about adding and est for short words like tall, tall, or tallest.
Mm-hmm.
But for longer words, multi-syllable ones, it's more and most, like beautiful, more beautiful, most beautiful. Seems basic, but it's easy to slip up on that one.
It is. And what's really crucial here is the power the system gives us for nuance and hierarchy. It lets us move beyond just simple good-bad descriptions.
Right. Much more subtle.
We can rank things, prioritize, express subtle differences or extremes. Think about trying to describe, say, three athletes' performances without these degrees. It'd be clumsy, less impactful.
Yeah, just repetitive.
Exactly. The degrees of comparison give us the linguistic structure for precise evaluation. It's vital everywhere, science, reviews, just everyday opinions. Really enriches how we judge and observe.
Speaking of structure and order, have you ever just like listed a bunch of adjectives for one noun and noticed they kind of fall into place naturally?
Oh, definitely. It just sounds right one way and wrong another.
Exactly. Well, it turns out that feeling is based on a real pattern. Our chapter calls it the natural order of adjectives. We tend to follow it even if we don't consciously know the rule.
It's intuitive for native speakers, usually.
The sequence, according to the source, is quite specific. Opinion, then size, age, shape, color, origin, material, and finally purpose, all before the noun itself.
Wow, that's a list.
Seems like a lot, right?
Yeah.
But our brains seem wired to process information that way, so the phrase sounds smooth.
It makes sense when you see it laid out.
And the example in the chapter is fantastic.
Yeah.
A beautiful opinion, small size,
right.
Old age, round shape,
yeah.
Golden color, Indian origin, wooden material, cooking purpose, pot.
That's quite a pot.
It is. But it flows, doesn't it? It creates this really clear image because everything's in its expected slot. Try mixing it up, a wooden, beautiful old pot.
Oof, yeah. Jarring.
Totally. So that order isn't just random. It reflects how we mentally sort characteristics.
And connecting that to the bigger picture, this isn't just about style. It likely reflects some universal cognitive patterns, how our minds work.
Oh, so?
Well, we tend to process subjective things first, like an opinion, beautiful, before we get to the more objective, measurable stuff like size or age.
Oh.
Then come the more inherent properties like color, origin, material, ending with the purpose. This ordering actually reduces the mental work for the listener.
Makes it easier to build a picture.
Exactly. More efficient, more natural. It just shows how much inherent structure and logic there is in language, guiding us towards clearer descriptions.
Fascinating. Okay, now here's a common hurdle, something that can trip people up. Telling adjectives and adverbs apart.
Ah, yes, the adjective versus adverb confusion.
They both modify things. Sometimes they even look alike, but what they modify is totally different. And the source material lays this out very clearly.
Which is crucial for accuracy.
The key difference is their target.
Mm.
An adjective describes a noun or a pronoun. That's its job. An adverb, on the other hand, modifies a verb, an adjective, or maybe even another adverb.
It's all about where the description is aimed.
Exactly. Let's use those examples from the chapter again. They make it really clear. Sentence one, she is a quick runner. Here, quick describes the noun runner. What kind of runner? a quick one. So quick is an adjective.
Describes the noun. Simple.
Sentence two. She runs quickly. Now, quickly isn't describing she or runner. It's describing how she runs. It modifies the verb runs.
Modifies the action.
Right. And that change, often just adding simply, completely flips its role to an adverb. Understanding that functional difference is key to avoiding common mistakes and writing precisely.
And what's really insightful is how that tiny change, just adding simply in many cases, totally reassigns the word's job in the sentence. Getting this distinction right is critical, not just for grammar points, but for clarity. Using the wrong one can make sentences sound awkward or even change the meaning you intended.
Definitely.
So, remembering adjectives describe nouns and adverbs describe actions or other descriptions, that's just fundamental for clear, sophisticated expression. Making sure the right word does the right job.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground here. We've looked at the definition, the six types, comparison, that natural order, and the adjective-adverb difference. But let's bring it back home. Why should you, listening right now, really focus on mastering adjectives? What's the payoff in everyday communication?
Good question. What's the real-world value?
Well, simply put, adjectives are like the secret sauce. They transform potentially bland communication into something vivid, precise, genuinely engaging.
Yeah, the flavor.
Exactly. They're the tools you use to paint detailed pictures with words. Whether you're writing an important email, giving a presentation, even just chatting with friends, choosing adjectives thoughtfully lets your message hit harder.
Creates clearer images.
Clearer images. Conveys your exact meaning without confusion. They're basically your most direct route to, well, articulate thought and impactful language.
And this raises that important question, doesn't it? How do we go from just knowing the grammar to actually using it effectively, like a master of language?
Right, the application.
It's by understanding their impact. Adjectives let us give our stories depth, character, emotional weight. They're vital for capturing not just the what, but the how and why of things.
Mm.
They ensure your audience doesn't just understand your message, but maybe feels it, appreciates it. They're the brush strokes, like we said, coloring the world you describe. They make your words truly memorable.
Well said. And that brings us nicely to the end of our deep dive on adjectives.
Alrighty. Time flies.
It does. We've journeyed through their definition, explored the six types, saw how they compare things, navigated their natural order, and clarified that key difference from adverbs. Hopefully you feel much more equipped now to use these powerful words.
I hope so too. And what's really fascinating, I think, is that once you start really noticing adjectives, you see them everywhere, shaping everything you read and hear.
You become attuned to them.
Exactly. So for your next step, I'd just encourage you to listen and read. But do it with adjectives in mind. Pay attention to the specific words used and ask yourself, how do these choices affect me, my understanding, my feelings?
That's a great takeaway action.
And it raises maybe one final question for you to think about. If you had to describe a significant event from your day using just one perfect adjective, what would it be? And why that specific word? What makes it so effective?
Ooh, I like that challenge. Something to mull over. Keep those descriptive words flowing, everyone. And we'll catch you on the next deep dive.